James chapter 1. Now let's begin to read in verse 1. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. That's an awful hard thing to do, ain't it? Divers temptations means many and different. He said, count it joy when you fall into divers temptations. How many of us do that? I can tell you this preacher does not do that tonight. Amen? I do not like being in temptations, nor troubles, nor problems. But he said in verse 3, knowing this, now here it is, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. So when we say, preacher, I need some patience. Lord, I need some patience. Then the Lord is going to try your faith tonight. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable. Now look what your Bible says. In all his ways, you can be seated tonight. Heavenly Father, help us now for these things in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. As the Apostle James was writing to the 12 tribes of Israel, we see that in verse 1 right there, to the 12 tribes scattered abroad. So we know that he was writing to Israel. But we can draw and add some great truth from this passage of Scripture here tonight. First of all, he dealt with the divers temptation and dealt with how patience and that works. As I begin to read this passage of Scripture, I come across verse 4, and I've never really paid attention to what he said. He said, but let patience have her perfect work. Now, ain't that something tonight? Patience has a work in our life and for our life tonight, but there is a perfect work for it in our life. And so he said for us to let patience have her perfect work in our life, then we're going to have to bear up and under those temptations. And we may have to struggle through those temptations, but nonetheless, he said that you may be perfect and entire wanting nothing. But then he changed gears in verse 5 and said, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. And that's simply what I want to preach on tonight is, do you need wisdom? Wisdom that we need tonight is not worldly wisdom. Now, wisdom is the right use or exercise of knowledge. It is the faculty of discerning or judging what is most just, proper, and useful. That's what Webster's tell us wisdom is. A lot of people have worldly wisdom. If you look over in James chapter 3, after he begins to talk about the tongue, how that the tongue cannot be tamed. And boy, I tell you tonight, one of the, out of every part of your body, he gave us the tongue to talk with, but he put it behind a set of teeth and put it behind a set of lips for us to be careful what we say. Amen. And he even comes down here in verse 8 and says, but the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Let me ask you this tonight. How many of us have ever, before we knew it, I was saying something that we wished we hadn't have said? I have. I'll be honest with you, I've had to go back and say I'm sorry. Why? Not because I wasn't thinking before I was talking. But he begins to talk right here in verse 13. He said, who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish. So he said, if there's bitter enviness and strife in your hearts, he said this type of wisdom that tells you to do those things is not from above. It didn't come from God, but it's earthly, sensual, and devilish. For where envy and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. And so we see that godly wisdom is not going to lead to strife. It's not going to lead to bitterness. It's not going to lead in that to bitter envy in your heart tonight. The Bible said in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, for the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, he taketh the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise that they are vain. So we understand tonight that worldly wisdom, earthly wisdom, is vanity and vain for us to strive and that to learn. Let me say tonight that it don't hurt us to learn, hey, don't put your finger in a light socket. That's just smart thinking, ain't it, tonight? Amen. Don't touch a barbed wire if it's hanging out of the wall. It might be hot. I mean, that's just common sense tonight. You don't have to have a lot of wisdom on that situation. But listen tonight, I would like to think that I'm preaching and that to save people. Can I tell you tonight that you cannot guide your home? You cannot guide your life? I cannot guide this church with worldly, sensual, devilish wisdom tonight. It just won't work. And listen, your home cannot be guided with the wisdom of the world. It's got to be guided and that with the wisdom of God that comes out of this book right here. And so I want to look tonight. He said, if any man, he said, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. He said, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not. And that word upbraid means to be reproachful or to charge with something wrong. Listen, if you go to God and you say, I need some wisdom, He's going to give it to you when you come with an honest heart needing it tonight. Number one tonight, we see the necessity for wisdom. Whether you think so or not tonight, you need it and I need it. In this day and age that we're living, we really need direction in our life. I guess any generation has needed direction. Can I tell you tonight that God's wisdom, I'm getting ahead of myself, but God's wisdom can help you to have the right words that you need to say tonight. Let me say that first of all, in our everyday life, we just need to recognize the need for godly and biblical and heavenly wisdom tonight. As Solomon was praying to God, and God come over there and asked him, said, Solomon, what do you want from me? He was dreaming, and God met him in a dream. And God would have given him anything that he wanted. But here's what Solomon said. He said, give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this by so great a people? He didn't ask for riches. He didn't ask for kingdoms. He didn't ask for women. Friend, he asked for wisdom that he could have to judge God's people. And because he asked for wisdom, God gave him riches. God also gave him wisdom. They said that people would come, those that were in power would come from all over the world, if you'd let me say it that way, to hear the wisdom of Solomon. When Queen of Sheba came and that to Solomon, it tells us that when she came there and she heard his wisdom and they seen how his servants stood and listened, she said, the half ain't even been told about you, Solomon. But on top of that, think about this for a minute. The Lord Jesus said over there, they said, he said, there is a greater than Solomon that is here. Now think about that for just a second and let that sink in. Can I tell you that me and you need heavenly wisdom and godly wisdom to make everyday decisions in our life? It does matter tonight when we're faced with certain decisions and certain forks in the road. And I've talked about that here lately. Folks have got some decisions to make. Hey, I'm telling you, if you'll pray to God and say, Lord, I need an answer on this. I know there's a right way and a wrong way. I listen, He can help you tonight. How do you know that? If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. I kind of look at that as a promise tonight that God would give us wisdom. Do you know that in raising your family, you need wisdom, moms and dads? You need wisdom how to raise your family tonight. Because don't you want to do your children good tonight? Don't you want to help them when they need help? Don't you want to point them in the right direction and act to follow God tonight? Don't you want to try to help them and that when it comes time for them to leave home and go out on their own, that wisdom that you've imparted to them all these years, I will come back to them? Don't you want that tonight? Listen, I know that not everybody has that tonight, and I know that some of you didn't grow up that way, but I'm telling you now, if you're raising children, you can instill that in them and raise that family, your home directed, and that by wisdom of God. Proverbs 14 and verse 1 said, every wise woman buildeth her house, but the foolish plucketh it down with her hands. Uses wisdom to build that house. Now, I want you to understand something as we go on, especially in the book of Proverbs, when it refers to wisdom, it refers to wisdom as a her. Refers to wisdom in the female part, if you let me say that. Now, I've got some ideas why the Lord would write it that way. But most women are softer than a lot of men. And I'll be honest with you, my wife's probably got better wisdom on a lot of situations than I do. She's kept me out of trouble many times. She said, I don't think I would do that if I was you. And I would begin to give it some thought. I remember that I had a woman call me one time and, she was giving me down the road because we had hypocrites here at the church. I'd come to church down there, but you got hypocrites. That's why I don't know if she's lit or not. I don't know what her problem was. I don't know why she called me out of all the people to call. She said, I'd come, but you got hypocrites down there. And I stopped her and I said, look, I said, ma'am, you'll go to the gas station with hypocrites. You'll shop at the Walmart with hypocrites. You'll go to town with hypocrites. And man, it wasn't just a few more words. And click, she hung up. Now that's one thing that I hate is to get hung up on. I mean, if you want to make me mad, hang up on me. I will find you and we'll finish this conversation. So I told my wife I was fixing to get in the truck and go over there to finish that conversation. And she said, I just don't think I would do that. I believe that's a bad idea for you to do that. And I sat there at the dinner table as we was eating, and the longer I ate, the more I thought, that's a bad idea. And I let that thing roll on and let it go. You know, sometimes you've got to use wisdom just to let some things go. Just to let it go. Listen, when you're dealing with people and some just you deal with more than others tonight. Listen, even in my job as pastor in this church, I need wisdom. I need wisdom how to deal with situations, how to deal with people, and how to deal with situations that come up in my home, right? Because I'm going to be honest with you, in your home and in my home and in this church, I right and wrong decisions last forever. Do you know that? what I preach on this morning. Preach on you can't live in the past, but I will tell you this. We make bad decisions in the past and we got to live with them the rest of our lives sometimes. We can't go back and undo what we done, what we said, where we went, what we seen, who is with. Sometimes we make bad decisions. But dealing with people. Now, Proverbs 26, I want you to look at this in your Bible for yourself. Take your Bible and go to the book of Proverbs, chapter 26. Let me mark my place here. Proverbs 26. Most of you should know this. Proverbs 26 and verse 4. Some of you are sitting here wondering if you're the hypocrite. People need an excuse not to come to church. That was her excuse. You see, part of her family was coming. And no doubt that was convicting her about part of her family coming. And she needed an excuse not to come to church. You see. Look in Proverbs chapter 26. Now we're talking about how to answer people. Look in verse 4. Answer not a fool according to his folly, lest thou also be like unto him. Now, if that was all that it said, then that would be answered. Then that would be easy to understand. But look at the very next verse. Answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own conceit. Is the Bible contradictory? No. But when you read that, it says, answer not a fool according to his folly. Verse 5, answer a fool according to his folly. What are you going to do? When are you going to answer a fool not according to his folly? And when are you going to answer him according to his folly? In other words, when are you not going to say something and let him go on? Or when are you going to say something to correct them? Now gets a little. Now that verse, they're not contradictory, by the way. You know what it takes to know when to say what you need to say? Wisdom. There's been some times that I've wanted to deal with some situations. There's probably been some times that I should have dealt with some situations. But there's been some times that I've wanted to deal with some situations. It's probably better not to. Probably just let it go. It takes wisdom, and that comes from God, from heaven, to know when to answer a fool and when not to answer a fool. Am I reading that right? Help me out here now, church. I mean, it takes wisdom to know what to do. It takes wisdom to know when to give the right words and what the right words are. I've told you many times, I struggle to be that preacher when folk need direction and when folk are suffering to give. I had a preacher friend of mine call me last night. I was in my study and I was getting ready for this morning, looking over things, and he called and he talked to me for an hour and a half. He is disgusted. He is aggravated. He is discouraged. As a matter of fact, he came to one point, he said, preacher, he said, Brother Mark, he said, how do I need to handle this situation? I had enough wisdom to keep my mouth shut. That thing blowed up on him. I didn't want him coming back and saying, hey, you told me to say. I didn't tell you to say nothing, man. He was looking for some wisdom. He has preached until he is blue in the face. He has just dealt with things, and it seems like nobody gets it, he said. I said, that is the definition of insanity, how to get up and preach over and over and over again, and the same thing happens. He said, I believe I'll preach on that in the morning, on insanity. That's what we're doing here. It's insanity. But it takes wisdom to know what to say. And when to say it. Proverbs 15 said, a man hath joy by the answer of his mouth, and a word spoken in due season, how good is it? He said in Proverbs 25, a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and pitchers of silver. I remember preaching that on Wednesday night years ago. Apples of gold and pitchers of silver. Well, that sounds pretty good, don't it, tonight? Having good words to say to somebody who might need it. Isaiah 50 said that the Lord God hath given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. Wouldn't you just like to, when you see somebody that is just beat down? I mean, I really wanted to help my preacher friend last night. I really wanted to help him. And when he got off the telephone, I don't know if I helped him or not. And all he really needed to do was just vent, if you want to know the truth. He said, I wore my wife out so much. And he said, if I keep talking to her, it's going to wire her down. And sometimes you just got to know when to be quiet, too. He was using some wisdom there. You know, my wife can only take, you know, listen, I want you to understand something. She is part of me, but I'm the man that's called to preach, and I'm the one that you all called to pastor this church. And I can let a lot of things roll off my back. But she takes a lot of things personal sometimes that I might just let go. See, if you're talking about me, I don't take it personal a lot of times. But she will. She'll take it personal if you're talking about me. He said that we need, he said the words of a wise man's mouth are gracious, but the lips of a fool will swallow up himself. Now I'm talking about how to have wisdom in our words tonight. We have wisdom in how we raise our home and how I've pastored this church and still pastoring this church. Listen, and right words and good words is what we need. A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stirreth up anger. Men, you and mama, ladies, you and daddy ever been fighting? And boy, one gets a little loud, then the other one's got to get loud. Maybe with your children, they get loud, you get loud back. And when all just a soft answer, we'll turn away some wrath. The next verse said, the tongue of the wise useth knowledge aright. So if we've got some wisdom about us that comes from God, we'll understand how to use right words and good words. Wisdom can and does direct our actions. Now listen, I'm talking about the necessity for wisdom. The Bible said that in Proverbs 12 that a prudent man concealeth knowledge. You go to Proverbs 27, he said a prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself. But the simple pass on and are punished. So wisdom will help us in our actions as we live this life. Am I making sense tonight? Can I ask you something? Have you ever looked at the situation that someone is in or looked at something that somebody done? An action that they had? Something that they allowed to happen and you just stood there and shook your head? Wondering, what were they thinking when they allowed this to happen? What were they thinking when they made this statement or they let their children go here or go there? Listen, how you raise your children is up to you. But friend, I'm going to preach to you and tell you that you need to raise them out of this book and you need to be careful with them while you got them. They're your responsibility tonight. So then how do we obtain wisdom? How do you get spiritual wisdom? Psalms 111 said, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding hath all they that do His commandments. His praise endureth forever. So it starts out in the fear of the Lord. Job 28 said, and unto man he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And to depart from evil is understanding. In other words, if you fear the Lord and see Him and know Him for who He is and for what He is and for what He's going to be one day, friend, that is wisdom tonight. I think the first thing, if you're going to have any spiritual wisdom, is you're going to have to get saved. Because you're not going to have any without salvation. But I do assume that I'm preaching to saved folk tonight for the most part. But if you're not saved, I encourage you to get saved tonight. So, Proverbs 9 said that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy is understanding. Listen tonight, when we fear Him, and I believe fear is fear. There is a reverential fear, but there is also a fear that means we're afraid. You're afraid of God sometimes. You reverence Him all the time. I don't really believe that God wants His people to be afraid of Him. But tonight, I'll be honest with you. I know that if I was to get out of His will, and I stayed out of His will, I know what's coming. I know that because of Scripture. I know that because of what I've seen and that in other men and women's lives. They've got wrong with God, stayed wrong with God, and God got their attention. So we start out with the fear of the Lord. But what did the text verse say in the book of James? If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. So, you pray, just like Solomon did. Solomon said, Lord, I don't know how to judge between your people. You're going to have to help me. You know, sometimes that gathering wisdom from God is no more than just saying, Lord, I need the help in this situation, and you're going to have to guide me through here. That's asking for wisdom. Would you help me? I need direction. Would you give me a little light on this situation? That's what my preacher friend wanted last night. He wanted to know what to do. He wanted to know the direction that he needed to travel to help his church. Can I tell you tonight that when we pray for wisdom, Ephesians 1 said that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. He can give us a spirit of wisdom and revelation as we trust Him and look to Him for our help. Listen tonight, if you need wisdom, I believe you can pray and then crack open this book. And I believe that you can begin to find what you need. You say, why don't God just automatically just insert it into our mind? I'll be honest with you, sometimes He might do it that way, but other times He wants you and that to dig and get serious about what you need to do. Colossians 3 said, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. You will not have spiritual wisdom without that book. Just not going to happen. The more we read and the more one studies, I believe the more wisdom that you'll gain. You ought to just read. And I struggle to read a proverb a day. You say, preacher, it's just a proverb. I agree, it's just a proverb, but it seems like I'm constantly trying to load and reload and unload and load and reload and unload. I preach twice on Sundays, on Wednesday night at the nursing home, on Friday morning, and I'm just constantly looking for something. Who was it I was talking to? Oh, Brother Caldwell. I forget how we got to this conversation. But I said, you know it's getting bad when you ask your wife, did God give you anything in your daily Bible reading this week? Because I need something. Give me something on the way here tonight. I have to change some words that she used, but they weren't bad words. I just can't use them the way she used them. Amen. I may preach it sometime. You think I'm kidding, but I may work that thing up. God will let me. Amen. But without this book, we can't have wisdom in our life. You can't have salvation. You know, the Bible, Paul told Timothy over there, he said that from a child that's known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. This is what directs you to Jesus. This book is what men need to preach and Sunday school teachers need to teach. It's this book right here. Wisdom. Wisdom. You know what the Bible said? Reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee, but rebuke a wise man, he'll love thee. If I seen something wrong in your life and I come to you and told you about it, how would you react? Now think about it. I ask myself that same question. Mark, if somebody's seen something wrong in your life and come to you, how would you react? He said, give instruction to a wise man and he will yet be wiser. Teach a just man and he will increase in learning. Now most of us want to do the reproving and think that we are full of wisdom. And I'm going to tell you, there's always room for us to learn. And I'll be honest with you, it might do us well to seek wisdom and counsel from other folk too. What did I tell you this morning? In the multitude of counselors, there is safety. Proverbs 24 said, for by wise counsel thou shalt make thy war, and in a multitude of counselors there is safety. Wisdom is too high for a fool. He openeth not his mouth in the gate. You don't know what to say. The getting of wisdom comes from prayer, comes from the Word of God, and even comes from other wise people. Do you know that? Do you know that you can learn from mistakes? They just don't have to be yours. Think about that for just a second. And that ain't even original saying to me, by the way. Number three, there is an application of wisdom. In other words, you put it to work. This is very simple. Once you know what to do, do it. Don't sit around on it. Just do it. Ain't that simple tonight? You know, preacher, that's easier said than done. And I know what a lot of the problem was with my preacher friend last night. He knew what he needed to do. He just didn't know how to go about it, per se, to keep from, let me see how I can say this, to keep from probably splitting his church up. Now, he needs some great wisdom if he's going to try to hold that thing together. But we don't need to sit around. Once we pray and we seek God and He gives us a way to go, then we simply do it. Ain't that easy to understand tonight? That's easy to understand. The lack of doing it is like Proverbs chapter 11, as a jewel of gold in a swine snout, so is a fire woman which is without discretion. Number four, last of all, there is a worth to wisdom. There's a value to it. Bible said in Proverbs chapter 3 that happy is the man that findeth wisdom and the man that getteth understanding. I want you to take your Bible and go to Job chapter 28. Look in verse 12. Job 28 and verse 12. But where shall wisdom be found? And where is the place of understanding? Man knoweth not the price thereof, neither is it found in the land of the living. The depth saying, it is not in me. The sea saith, it is not with me. It cannot be gotten for gold, neither shall silver be weighed for the price thereof. It cannot be valued with the gold of Ophir, with the precious onyx or the sapphire. The gold and the crystal cannot equal it, and the exchange of it shall not be for jewels of fine gold. No mention shall be made of coral or of pearls, for the price of wisdom, right here, looky here, is above rubies. Let me park right here. How many of you remember what else is above rubies? I preach a message on that from time to time. Miss far above rubies, the virtuous woman, Proverbs chapter 31. Proverbs 31, listen, when you go over there and you look at Proverbs 31, King Lemuel's mother is teaching him how to be the king. She's teaching him that he needs to judge in righteousness and that he needs to judge without liquor and without drink. If you go there and you look at it, it said that it would cause him to pervert judgment when he drunk it. And then it went on to say in Proverbs 31, here is Miss Far Above Rubies. She was teaching him what kind of wife to look for. Somebody that could help him. It's far above rubies. The price of it is. Verse 19. The topaz of Ethiopia shall not equal it, neither shall it be valued with pure gold. Whence then cometh wisdom, and where is the place of understanding? Seems like we've seen that. Seeing it is hid from the eyes of all living, and kept close from the fowls of the air. Destruction and death say, we have heard the fame thereof. With our ears, God understandeth the way thereof, and He knoweth the place thereof. For He looketh to the ends of the earth, and seeth under the whole heaven, to make the weight for the winds, and for make the weight for the winds. He weigheth the waters by measure. When He made a decree for the rain, and a way for the lightning and the thunder, did He see it and declare it? He prepared it, yea, and searched it out, and said, and unto man He said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and to depart from evil is understanding. Great value. Great value. To have. Look in Proverbs chapter 3. I'm about to close, okay? Proverbs 3. The Bible said, be not wise in thine own eyes in Proverbs 3 and verse 7 as you go over there. He said, fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and a marrow to thy bones. But when we look in verse 13, Proverbs 3 and verse 13, talking about something good to get now. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom. Now, did you see that? Happy is the man that findeth wisdom. Let me ask you something. Well, let me read them. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. Seems like we've read some of this somewhere in the book of Job, haven't we? She is more precious than rubies, and all the things thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor. You want to live long? You want to have riches and honor? Get wisdom. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. Look at that. Wisdom's just a good thing to have, ain't it? She is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her, and happy is everyone that retaineth her. The Lord by wisdom hath founded the earth, by understanding hath He established the heavens. By His knowledge the depths are broken up, and the clouds drop down the dew. My son, let not them depart from thine eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion, so shall they be life. So shall they be life unto thy soul and grace to thy neck. Then shalt thou walk in the way safely, and thy foot shall not stumble. When thou liest down, thou shalt not be afraid. Yea, thou shalt lie down, Thy sleep shall be sweet. Be not afraid of sudden fear, neither of desolation, of the desolation of the wicked when it cometh. For the Lord shall be thy confidence and shall keep thy foot from being taken. Wisdom. 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 You get it? James said, if you want wisdom, he said, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of the Lord. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 5 said, get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. She shall give to thine head an ornament of grace. A crown of glory shall she deliver to thee. Hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many. I have taught thee in the way of wisdom. I have led thee in the right path. There's a value to it. It's worth something to get wisdom tonight. I love it. In all thy getting, get wisdom and get understanding. Now, if you like wisdom, if you need wisdom tonight, I don't know what you're going to do with this message, but if you need wisdom, you sure can get it. Let's bow our head tonight across the house. Maybe there's some directions. Listen to me now. It's invitation time. Maybe there's some wisdom that you need in your heart tonight and in your life. Maybe there's some direction. Some of you might have been acting foolishly here lately with some situations. You don't have to do that. You can have wisdom. If you need to come and pray tonight, I want you to come. I want you to come. Listen, some's coming to pray. Would you come? Would you come? Do you need direction? Boy, I'm telling you, God can give such great direction. Great direction. But if you need Him, I'm going to give you opportunity. Maybe you're unsaved tonight and you've never been saved. Smartest thing you'll ever do, greatest thing you'll ever do is come trust Christ as your personal Savior. If you need to come, I want you to come tonight.